See the title. The title is Stay Flexible. Stay flexible. Stay flexible. Scripture's been read. Exegesis, as always, has been well done of the text. But I want to tell y'all a story. You know, I got a million stories. So I was meditating last night, come back in, having a good time last night. My wife and I went out, didn't have the boy around. He with his grandparents. So I say, thank the Lord. You know, he having fun, being spoiled. We went out, we had a good time, had, you know, all kind of fun. We hadn't had that kind of time in a long time. And with all that's happened, it was necessary. So we get home, you know, now it's like, okay, we still got to get ready for tomorrow morning. I sat down and I was really thinking about this word and this one, what seems to be almost an obscure moment in my college life came back to my mind. Some of y'all went with me at the end of last year to Lexington, Kentucky. You went to my college home church, Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Some of y'all went. Pastor there is Dr. Felix G. Williams III. He was my pastor while I was in college and one of, personally, my favorite preachers on the planet, because he's about as honest of a cat as you'll ever meet. I mean, he's just himself. I mean, he's just that dude. So in college, you know, and for those that are getting ready to go to college, I don't care what perception some people give you, every college student is broke at some point. And so good college students, they got good sense. You go to places where they gonna feed you and not treat you like you... Okay, cool. So y'all catching what I'm throwing. Okay, cool. So one day, my friend Thomas and I were just hanging out in Lexington for a second, and Doc asked us to come by. So I was like, of course, we're going to come by. We're going to hang out. Because anytime someone invites us over and we can eat their food and they ain't going to, you know, look at us crazy, and they going to keep on buying groceries just to make sure that we fed and they ain't complaining. Yeah, we gonna go there. And we went over there. And both of us, young preachers, and doing stuff with the church and all that. And Doc said something that I'll never forget. And I wrote it on my timeline, other stuff. And only recently did I catch out, missed a word. That's what happens when you type it after midnight and you don't check your stuff, per se. But it just meant something to me in that moment. And he said this to us. He gave us this advice on ministry. He said, whatever you do, don't keep your belt too tight. Wear your pants loose in case God has you move. He's now been the pastor of Mount Calvary for 40 years. They just celebrated his 40th. And he told us way back when, just before his 30, he said, even to this day, I still wear my pants loose. And we were looking at him like, huh, that sounds all cool and extra deep, but okay. Well, I mean, when you're like 19, 20, you're like, man, I'm trying to find a place to what? Settle in and do this and do that. I know that I've been called to do this and dot, 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 because you've been trained that way by other pastors, even including him. You learn how to prepare yourself so you end up landing in a place where you can do what you meant to do. But that threw me off. But only now at 38 does it make even more sense than it ever did before. What he's saying is, you don't become so entrenched that you're unable to move when God says move. If I don't say nothing else, that should already speak to the fact that some of us in here, good, bad, or indifferent, need to be reminded that we must always be at all times flexible. Flexibility is not about lowering your standards. Flexibility is not about making sure that you appease a huge group of people. That's not what flexibility is. Flexibility is having the knowledge and the sense that you just do what God asks you to do. And you keep doing that thing regardless of where God leads you. Because some people don't believe this, but ministry for some people doesn't look like ministry for others. There are people that are extremely effective in doing things within the four walls of the church, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Some people are not, let's just tell the truth. And some people I don't want knocking on my door, seeing me and telling me about nothing. Not because they're mean, not because they're nasty, but because they can't explain nothing to you. You know those salespeople that try to sell you stuff that you don't need? And then you actually give them a chance to tell you about all the stuff, and they look like they don't know what to do with it? Sometimes we can be that way with the word of God, with the message of the kingdom, all that kind of stuff. And we don't realize that maybe this isn't how we're supposed to make it happen. Maybe God has given us all that we need to do what we need to do, but it's not just limited for one spot. Every one of us in here, we're more than just one thing. Y'all heard me say that a million times. We're more than just one thing. I'm more than just a pastor, okay? I'm more than just CJ's daddy. I'm more than Marissa's husband. I'm more than those things. You are more than just the things that people see. And the reason for that is that God wants to be able to use you in all those different areas where you can be most effective. It is possible to be saved and succeed in the business world. It is possible to love the Lord, speak in tongues and the whole nine, and still be able to go on the street and talk to the most common person in regular plain English. Amen. There's more to you. But what can happen from time to time is that we can get caught up. We can get caught up in finding ourselves only sticking to what? One place, one plan, one thing all the time. Now, how do you find that in this text? Well, look at how powerful Jesus is. You know, I think every time I read more about Jesus, I become more enamored with who he is. Look what he says. He's sending out his disciples. This particular version of this story is talking about the 12. There is another version that talks about the 70. Sending them out two by two with authority and power. So it's along those same lines. But let's just stick with what Mark wrote, sending out the 12, gave them authority, gave them power, and what? To cast out unclean spirits, to do all kind of stuff. Not just preach the gospel, cast out unclean spirits, and eventually we see what? Heal and everything else, right? So they have more than one mission. There's more than one objective. And he says, don't take a bunch of stuff. Don't take no money. Don't take no food. Don't take no extra clothes. You ain't got time for all that. Take your staff. Take your regular old sandals and the clothes on your back and go to work. That's what he said. I'm summing it up. But look at what else Jesus said. You know, it's always about the other things that Jesus says, right? He said, Lisa, go to somebody's house, do what you got to do. But guess what? If they ain't talking to you, keep it moving. But wait for it. Y'all know where the nuance is. Shake the dust off. Wait for it. Wait for it. Here's the nuance. Because it'll be a testimony not about you, but about who? Them. In other words, don't get offended when they say no. You got work to do. What most of us will try to do is get planted in the place of rejection. This ain't even in the notes. This ain't in the notes, but this is to help somebody. Some of us will get planted in the place of rejection to try to prove and change somebody that's already made up their mind. And all we've done is waste a bunch of time on trying to convince somebody that in that moment is already convinced about where they are. You ain't got time to try to convince people about stuff they ain't gonna be convinced about. All right? I'm gonna pick on Michigan fans for a second. I'm gonna pick on you a little bit. A couple weeks ago, when they struggled against Army, the first thing that came out of my friends of mine, some of my friends, not all of them, because some of them got good sense. They played ball like I played ball. We could be objective. But some of them kept saying, well, everybody struggles against Army. And wait for it. I'm gonna be honest. It is true. Oklahoma struggled against Army. Other teams have struggled against Army. I would struggle against Army because these are guys that know they're going to end up having to go to war, so they ain't got nothing to lose. So from that standpoint, I get the argument. However, they had to live up to a hype that may not have been deserved. And they lost yesterday, and I'm not gloating. I'm using this as a real example. They had all the hype. They were put in a position. They had to prove to people that the hype was true. And they fell apart because they tried to live up to what? The hype. Or they tried to live up to something and trying to convince people that what was said was true. And they fell apart. Whole lot of teams do that. They fall apart because they're trying to what? Prove something that may or may not be true. In life, people stay around folk in all types of relationships trying to prove that maybe, just maybe, if I stick around long enough, they're going to change. And they done told you 100 different ways that's who they are. If they show you the first time, believe them. If someone's told you, well, God bless you for coming by, but I ain't on that, believe them. Not because you don't care about them, but because there are still more people that need to know what you are offering them. There's more people than just your family. There's more people than just the people on your block, the people on your job. God, Jesus is saying here, do not waste your time. You got to keep stepping. And the reason you dust your feet is so that it's known that you did all that you could. And guess what? They didn't want it. So it's not on you for not trying. It's on them for not receiving. It takes the pressure off you. And when they kept moving, here's what happened. People were saved. Demons were cast out. Folk got healed. You see what I mean? The mission still was fulfilled. Because they stayed flexible enough not to what? Root themselves in a place where they wouldn't be accepted. I want you to stay flexible, and here are the reasons why you and I need to stay flexible. Number one, if we stay flexible, our focus will remain on the mission. Yes. The mission is clear. Preach, teach, heal, cast out, move. Y'all saw that, right? Y'all read the same scripture, right? Yes. The mission is fivefold. Preach, teach, cast out, heal, and move. If I'm consumed with what's happening, I won't move. I won't preach. I won't teach. I definitely won't be casting out nothing. And I won't be healing nothing. In other words, I will not be fulfilling my purpose if I'm preoccupied with the wrong thing. If I'm preoccupied with the wrong stuff, I will always be wasting my energy and my time on stuff that doesn't matter. So, just in case you run into somebody that's going to get on your nerves today, I mean, it is Sunday. Some of us are going to go out to eat. 9 times out of 10, you're either going to run into somebody at the restaurant, or you might run into a waiter or a waitress that's having a bad day. Don't waste the energy on stuff that you can't change. Keep your eyes fixed on what you have to do. This is a word for me too. Sometimes after you get through the other stuff, you got to sit back, recalibrate your vision, and see that some of this stuff ain't nothing but a distraction. Somebody's no is not a testimony about your ability to do anything. Somebody's no might be a testimony about the fact that you might be on to something. Because remember, they were given power and authority in a place where what? Unclean spirits were. They were not just told to preach. They were told to what? Do work. So why wouldn't an evil spirit decide to what? Resist. They know that whatever Jesus gave them is passing by. It always happens. You know that boy that was possessed by a demon and the disciples couldn't cast that demon out? And he's shaking and everything when Jesus comes? You know why he was shaking and convulsing so hard? Because those demons knew something was showing up getting ready to happen. When the power of God and the presence of God shows up, there's always going to be resistance. Can I help somebody? If you are really walking in your purpose and in the power of God, expect resistance. But don't allow the resistance to take you away from what you got to do. As a matter of fact, we did all this shouting before the sermon started. Shout when the resistance comes. Because it's evidence that there is something within you. If you're not facing any resistance, you might need to ask yourself a couple questions. If I'm flexible, I'm going to stay focused on the mission. The second thing is I'll be able to see those who want the connection with Jesus. Notice what I said. I didn't say the connection with the church. With Jesus. There's a quote floating around by James Cone that basically he said something to this effect. Pastors preach in such a way that you lose your members to Jesus. Somebody caught that. Let me say that one more again. I'm paraphrasing it. But it's basically to say pastors preach in such a way that you lose your members to Jesus. Which falls in line with the words of Paul where he says, I didn't come to gain a following for myself. This thing is about Jesus, right? And the people that eventually yielded to what was coming wanted the connection with the power of God. My job and your job is just to give people what? The opportunity to gain access. I'm not telling you to become a part of me. I'm going to fail you. I'm the nicest guy in the world, but somewhere along the line, I'm going to fail you. I'm not going to meet a certain expectation. I'm not even going to meet some of my own expectations. It's not about connecting with me. It's not about connecting with you. It's about connecting with the Christ that's in you. Why am I standing today when there are days when I feel like I should be what? Down, out, and falling. Because it was Christ that brought me out. You see what I mean? Why can't I shout and dance today when maybe yesterday I didn't feel like it? It's because of the grace of God. How can I have a praise in my being when all hell is breaking loose? Because I know the Christ that what? Keeps me. And if he can keep me, he can do it for you. If I got no other motivation to minister to people, it should be based on that. The Lord kept me. If you have no other motivation to help anybody in this life, it should be motivated by the fact that the Lord kept you. If you have no other reason to give God praise on any given Sunday, it should be because the Lord kept you. And I want somebody to know the same Christ that kept me can keep them. You're going to be able to see it because those that reject, you ain't going to waste no more time. There's somebody out there that wants to know. But it goes a little something like this sometimes. How in the world are you making it? They ask you nothing about Jesus. They ask you, how did you make it? They done watched you go through all kinds of stuff. They done seen you suffer. They done seen you do this, do that, and all that stuff. That's your chance to let them know if it had not been. When your eyes are open and you're flexible and you're able to what? Move away from some stuff. Guess what? You're able to see there are people that still want to know who Jesus is. Last thing I'll finish. You'll recognize when you're flexible that different situations require a different skill or gift set. Everybody ain't coming to hear me preach. Sweat, hock, and spit. That's what some old preachers would call it. They ain't coming for the hoop. They ain't coming for the hoop. I don't care how well you close. let me keep it light. I wish I could close like E. Dewey Smith. That black man could close a sermon like nobody I've ever heard in my life. You hear me? And I wish, I wish I could close it like him all the way down to just the whole singing part. He can sing and do it all. I wish I could just close it like it and shut it down. But I know even with as large of a church as he has, folk don't come for that. Everybody don't come for the who, but they don't come for the how. Some folk don't even want to come up in a church house. Not because there aren't good people here, but something about the church house may be intimidating. So sometimes to reach people, it requires a different skill set. When you see me in the street, you ain't always going to see me looking like this. Most people I run into catch me looking as messed up and tore up as possible. You might see me in a hoodie a hoodie in the middle of the summer while I try to get congestion out, and yet with some basketball shorts on, chilling. And that may be the day I run into the person that needs to know what Jesus is all about, because it'd be like, hey man, I see, you just seem like a different cat. I feel your vibe. You know, some people talk like this. I feel your vibe. You just seem like a good cat, man. I just want to see what you all about. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I'm just trying to make it day to day. I don't even tell them pastor. I'm not, skill set, gift set. I don't lead off with that whole Reverend Doctor thing. Come on. I still get nervous even saying it. I get nervous when other people say it. I start off saying, be like, man, I'm just here making it day to day. Be like, dog, listen, man, I know what you're talking about. And they start telling me their whole life story. In that moment, the skill set that's needed is not to prove that I am an authority on what God is talking about. The skill set is what? Listening. When people run up on you all the time and they feel like they can tell you all their issues, they feel safe. And they feel safe because there's something about what's going on in you that's different from other people they run into. Why is it? Because God gave you something that others don't have. Have you ever wondered why certain students come to you? Have you ever wondered why certain people are drawn to you? Have you ever wondered why it seems like you can't get away from what seems to be the same group of people over and over again? They just got different faces. They just got different ages. Because God gave you something that is there to impact. You don't have to be something you're not in order to get the will of God done. The Lord did not ask you to get up and be like anybody else. God asked you to be the fearfully, wonderfully created person that he made. Use what you got. That's how I'm going to end this today. I'm going to end this. Use what you have. Because God gave it to you. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I kind of doubt that God wants to use me this way or that. Can I tell you something? When I get up Sunday after Sunday and I sit in a pulpit or I sit on a front row, I literally question myself up to the very moment that I get up to preach. Why do you use me? Why me? Why not somebody else? Why? And then God says, cool, you got that out? Yes, I got it out. Then comes back and says, I use you because I chose you. I chose you because I wanted to choose you. And guess what? You can't do a thing about it, because when I do a thing, that's what I do. So, little black boy, get up and trust me that I got you. Don't make a difference what other people got to say about it. I want that spirit to like break in this place for the rest of eternity. God chose you before you chose God and gave you what you needed before you ever knew you had it. So now that you have come into contact with God, guess what? God has unveiled all that is within you. Stop doubting it. Stop allowing people to bring up stuff that don't have a thing to do with today. Stop living in the bondage of what used to be and let God just what? Use you. Y'all all right? And I mean this. I've said it too many times, but I'm going to say it a different way for the first time. I'm not a perfect pastor. And guess what? I will never be. Because there's no such thing. But what I can tell you from a place as an authority is this. If God can take all of my broken pieces and show me that even my broken pieces have use, baby, what will God do with you? I just want to use this as an encouragement, because sometimes we do a whole lot of stuff and we're constantly going. And we're like, when is it going to end? Or I know there's so much in you. Yeah. And God's put it all in you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't try to match what other people want. God designed you that way for a reason. You have something to offer the kingdom. You have something worthwhile to give to the kingdom. Just be flexible. You're going to be surprised. Let me say it this way. You'll be surprised where God's going to take you next when you are flexible. Because the next place that God takes you will blow your mind. The next thing God will do, it'll blow your mind.